Let's pray together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to Thee tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We pray that Thou wouldst meet with us and bless us. We pray for Thy presence tonight in our meeting. We pray that Thou wilt be glorified, and, O God, that Thou wilt be honored. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We do welcome you tonight to our evening gospel service. Just want to make some announcements at the commencement tonight. Could I just say there are baskets at the exits for your offerings as you feel led to give. Missionary Council retiring offerings are separate baskets there for the missionary work. And then do remember Tuesday evening, the prayer meeting and Bible study. Studies on the survey of the New Testament continue. This week we're coming to the general epistle of Jude. We encourage you to come to the prayer meeting and to join with us around the Word of God on Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. We trust that you will do that, the Lord helping you. And then Thursday night is our church committee meeting, 7:30. All items for the agenda by Wednesday night, please, for that meeting on Thursday. We'd like a full attendance, if possible, of committee members. Next Lord's Day, Sunday school. It is an open Sunday school at present, and that's the way it's remaining for the next period. So encourage again parents to send their children along for 10 o'clock next Lord's Day. And 11:30 morning worship, doors open from 11. The prayer meeting in the youth room upstairs in the evening time from 6:20 to 6:45. And then next Sunday night at 7 p.m. is our family and friends night service, special testimony from Derek Preston, a story of God's grace in his life, his recovery from cancer and coronavirus. Do invite others to come to join with us for that service. There'll be messages and song from Naomi Wilson as well at that service. Communion service will be at the close of the 11:30 a.m. service on Lord's Day, the 30th of May. Again, please bring your own bread and wine. Receptacles are available. These, if you haven't got one, these will be made available again next Lord's Day at either of the services. It will be at the end of the service. We've been having it before the service when we were having no Sunday school, but we resume again at the end of the service. You just remain in the seats where you are, and then we will proceed with the communion service after the morning worship. Please remember all of the restrictions on entering and exiting while you're in the building. Also, could I remind you of this little book by Chris Killen, who works with those with addictions. It's Teaching for Truth. It's put out by our youth council, and it's on drugs, a very, very important issue. And those are available at the exits. You can pick one up. They're quite free. We encourage parents, young people to do that as you leave tonight. We're going to join the singing of a hymn. It'll be on the screen there. And we trust that you will join in the singing of this hymn as it comes up before you tonight. Hopefully it will come up. It has now. My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. 3:12, we just keep our seats as we sing, and then we'll stand for prayer at the conclusion of this hymn. Eternal, gracious, loving, blessed Heavenly Father, we bow in thy holy presence tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and through the merits of his precious blood. We stand upon redemption ground, the ground of peace. We rejoice, O God, in the person and work of our Savior. We thank thee for the one who left the glories of heaven and came to the sin-cursed scene in order to bleed and to die for us. He gave his life a ransom for many. We thank thee he died upon that cross for us. We thank thee he suffered that we might be saved. We thank thee he gave his life a ransom for the many. We thank thee, Lord, that we were numbered amongst the many for whom Christ died. We rejoice tonight. Those of us who are saved, we can say that I am redeemed, O praise the Lord. My soul from bondage free hath found at last a resting place in him who died for me. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. O praise the Lord. We thank thee tonight, Lord, for redemption through the blood. And Father, as we come tonight, we pray for thy presence in this meeting. We pray that thou wilt speak to every heart, to any who are not saved. We pray that tonight will be the night of their salvation, a night of nights in the experience of many. We pray that those who hear this word tonight will come to Christ. Those listening in to the gospel, that thou wilt speak to every heart, and that thou wilt do a work of grace for thy glory. Not only here in Ballygowan, but across our land, we pray that many tonight will be saved. Sin has ravished the lives of many, but we thank thee that where sin abounds, grace can much more abound. Work tonight in lives of young, middle-aged, and older. Bring many to the cross tonight, we pray. We ask, Lord, that you remember the needs, O God, of the congregation too, the church family, those who have illness. We thank thee for your hand on Mary in recent times. Continue to minister to her. Remember our brother Jim McGahey, who lies so low even tonight, that thou wouldst undertake for him, that thou wouldst, O God, work out thine own purpose as concerns our brother. Remember our dear brother Carl Stripp. Minister to Carl at this time. Lord, we pray, touch him with thy healing hand. Remember others too. We think of Dorothy Garrett. Continue to minister to Dorothy that she may recover. Remember Valerie tonight, who's ill. We pray for thy touch upon her that she may recover as well. And for others too that need our prayers in these days. Those who cannot be out or feel, yet they cannot come to the house of God. That thou wouldst encourage them that soon they'll be able to be back with us in the Lord's house again. For others who may have grown cold or complacent or careless, that thou wouldst stir their hearts again. Give them an interest to come to your house. Help them to realize the importance of coming and congregating together in the house of God as thy people. Remember our land in all its iniquitous state. We pray that thou wilt move and answer prayer. Help us not to look to man or the son of man, but to look to the mighty God of heaven, who is in control of all things. Hear us, we beseech of thee tonight. Moved across this world, we think of Israel tonight. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Remember thy people, Israel. Remember, O God, that situation in that land tonight. Intervene, we pray, O God, for thy glory. We pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. You may be seated. Let us turn to the Word of God tonight. We'll find it in the book of Mark's Gospel. In Mark's Gospel, and we're reading together from the chapter 5. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, and reading from verse 24. Mark chapter 5. Verse 24, let us hear the word of God tonight. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch both but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. We're turning to another hymn, 316. A trembling soul, I sought the Lord. My sin confessed, my guilt deplored. How soft and sweet his word to me. I took thy place and died for thee. And we will keep our seats again as we sing this hymn, and then we will stand for prayer before we have the word tonight.
Thank you.
Father, we take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill us to the uttermost. I take, he undertakes for me. We pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. You may be seated. I want to continue the series of messages in the Lord's Day evening services on the subject, Great Words of the Gospel. Great Words of the Gospel. And tonight we come to the word faith. The word faith. Of course, in past evenings, we have looked, first of all, at conviction. The importance of the soul being convicted of their sin and being brought to saving faith in Christ. And then last Lord's Day evening, we looked at repentance and how vital it is to repent and to turn from one's sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, we come to this word, faith. And faith is a vital ingredient of the gospel. For without faith, a person cannot be saved. Faith is an absolute necessity if a person is to be born again. It is essential, an essential element in relation to the soul being converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. The human race, as we look at it, is divided into two classes of people. Believers and unbelievers. God's people are believers. They are characterized by faith. And they live by faith. The Bible teaches us that the just shall live by faith. And faith is the operative principle of the new life. That is, of the Christian life. There are many aspects of faith, as Hebrews chapter 11 wonderfully illustrates for us. But for now, tonight, we shall confine ourselves to what is called saving faith. That faith which brings the individual into the experience and the enjoyment of God's salvation. And as we think about this subject tonight, I want to look at it in a variety of ways. First of all, we think about the inquiry. The inquiry. The question in regard to salvation. In the book of Acts chapter 16, verse 30, you remember the jailer came in to where Paul and Silas were imprisoned in that prison cell. And he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And this is the question of questions tonight. And it asks that question. And maybe you're asking that question in your heart tonight. What must I do to be saved? What is the human responsibility that I have in regard to salvation? At infinite cost, salvation has been provided for the sinner. John, writing in his epistle in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, he said this, "And he," that is Christ, "is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." God's only begotten Son came down from heaven and procured salvation by dying for us upon the cross. The Bible tells us there in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 5 and 6, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him," that is on Jesus, "made to meet on Jesus," the sense is, "the iniquity of us all." You remember those words? John the Baptist declared concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John chapter 1, verse 29. You remember also the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21.
that He who knew no sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And God the Father accepted His finished work, the finished work of Christ, and raised Him up from the dead, and exalted Him to His right hand in heaven. And salvation is now offered to all men. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 22, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God." And there's none else. On what terms is this salvation offered? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Acts 16, verse 31. That was the answer to the inquiry of the Philippian jailer. That was the answer that was given by Paul and Silas to this man who was inquiring about the matter of salvation. You see, my friend, salvation in all of its limitless magnitude is secured, so far as human responsibility is concerned, by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Have you believed tonight? In the New Testament, there are at least 150 different passages which condition salvation on believing and faith. And the one word is the exact synonym of the other. You have the words there in John chapter 3, verse 16. "But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever," listen, "believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Acts chapter 13, verses 38 and 39. "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him," listen, "all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Romans 1, verse 16. And again, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. "By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you this faith tonight in the Son of God as your Savior? You know, you hear a lot of people today and say, "So-and-so is a man of faith. So-and-so is a woman of faith." What's their faith in? Or who's their faith in? What does it mean? This word faith is bandied about today. It's a bit like the word love. It's bandied about. And people haven't the first notion about what it means. The Bible tells us what it means. Stick to the Bible, friend, and you'll not go far wrong. You'll not go wrong at all, in fact. Stick to the Bible. What the Bible teaches. Faith. Vital ingredient. And so that's the inquiry. That's the inquiry. Have you this faith in the Son of God, your Savior tonight? But then I want you to see, secondly, the instruction, the meaning of this, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It means essentially to place my whole confidence and trust in Him as my own and personal Savior. The great C.H. Spurgeon explained it in this way. Suppose there's a fire on the third floor of a house, and a child is trapped in a room there. And there's down below a huge, strong man. He stands on the ground beneath the window where the child's face appears. And he calls, "Jump! Drop into my arms!" It's a part of faith. Spurgeon would say, to know that there's a man there. Still another part of faith, to believe him to be a strong man. But the essence of faith lies in trusting him fully and dropping into his arms. Will you do that tonight? The Lord Jesus Christ wants you to place your faith and trust in him. It is saying tonight, "I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus, trusting only thee, trusting thee for full salvation, great and free." It's Suppose you've heard the story of the man who walked across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. Branham, I think, was his name. And he walked across on a tightrope, got to the other side, and then he got a wheelbarrow. And he walked across the tightrope, wheeling a wheelbarrow. And then there was this fellow at the other end. And he said to him, and he challenged him, he says, "Do you believe I could do this?" That was before he went over on the with the wheelbarrow in the first instance. "Do you believe that I can do this?" The fellow said, "Yes." When he went over, he said to the fellow, "Will you get into the wheelbarrow?" "Oh, no," he says. "No, no. You see, that's trust. Trust. You could say, oh, I believe. I believe in salvation. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." But are you prepared to trust him? Are you prepared to come into his arms tonight? Prepared to trust him as your own personal Savior? Dr. Chalmers, the great Scottish preacher, went to see a Scottish woman in her time of trouble about her sin. She was trying to get faith. On his way to her house, he had to come across a stream over which there was a very thin plank. Looking out of her window, she saw that he was afraid to venture across on the plank. And coming out, she called out to him in her Scottish brogue, "Just lippin' into it. Just lippin' to it." In other words, lep on it. That was her way of advising him to trust himself in the plank. And then he spoke to her about the way of salvation. And he used the same illustration of her own words to explain to her how that she must step out. How that she must put her trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you step out in the promise tonight and get onto the blood, trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The instruction. But then thirdly, what is involved in this? There are three steps. First of all, there is hearing. There is hearing. You notice what Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Before I can believe the gospel, I must hear it. Before I can believe that Christ is able and willing to save me, I must hear that he is willing and able to do so. The words of John chapter 5 and verse 24 come to mind. "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Hearing. Have you heard the word of God? Are you hearing the word of God tonight in this service? Did you listen to the message of the gospel? "Incline your ear," said the prophet. "Hear, and your soul shall live." The second thing is not only hearing, but believing. Having heard who he is and what he's able to do for me, I believe what I hear. I assent. I believe in him, that he died for me, that he is able to save me, that he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for him. This intellectual assent is not saving faith, though it's an essential step toward it. But it's not saving faith. The third thing is trusting. I hear, hearing the word of God, I believe, I assent to the truth, but now I must trust. I must place my confidence in him. I must trust him, in him to save me. And trusting, my friend, excludes all effort, relies wholly upon the one who's being trusted in. So you lay aside yourself and all dependence on yourself and all trust in man. It's not trust in the church, friend. It's not trust in a minister or a pastor or a preacher. Not trust in any man. It's trust in the Lord Jesus Christ himself, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ.
But I want you to come forthly tonight to look at the incidents which illustrate this. And there are three incidents in Scripture that I want to focus upon. And one is here in this passage that we have read from tonight in the book of Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 25 to 34. Notice that this woman heard. Look at what the Scripture says here in verse 27 of the passage. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. She came because she believed what she heard. Straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. Look at verse 28. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. So she came because she believed what she heard, and she touched the hem of his garment. And then in Acts chapter 8, in verses 29 to 37, you'll notice the Ethiopian eunuch there. In the book of Acts chapter 8, and the verse there from verse 30 onward, verse 29 in fact, of Acts chapter 8, and discover how Philip went to join himself to this man's chariot as he rode in the chariot. And this eunuch heard from the lips of Philip the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was reading in the prophecy of the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, in fact. And we discover that Philip opened his mouth at the same scripture, that is Isaiah chapter 53, the Old Testament scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. He preached unto him Jesus. And this man believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll notice down the passage here, when you go down it in Acts chapter 36, and they came on their way, verse 36, unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You see, this man believed in Christ. He trusted Christ as a Savior. And of course, he was baptized as a confession of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, we have these incidents that illustrate this matter of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you have Acts chapter 16, we've already referred to it. Notice that the jailer took three steps. He must have heard in order to ask the question that he asked. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Then he believed. Having heard the exhortation of Paul and Silas, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And his immediate confession by baptism, his changed life, proved that he had trusted Christ as his own and personal Savior. He was a changed man. Why? Because he believed in Christ. Because he trusted. Because he had this vital ingredient of saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And so these incidents illustrate this great truth of saving faith. But then there are illustrations of this saving faith. You think of faith in the bank. Suppose you're left a fortune and you do not know where to place it for safety. Then a friend recommends you a safe bank. You hear what he says, you believe his testimony, and you commit your fortune to the bank. That's trusting. That's faith. And you think about faith in the doctor. Suppose you take suddenly ill and you are told of a doctor who can help you or a surgeon that can operate upon you. And you hear what is said and you believe what you're told concerning that doctor or that consultant or that surgeon. And you commit yourself to them. You trust them completely to treat your condition.
I remember a few years ago I was in hospital waiting for an operation, and at 6 o'clock in the morning this guy comes round all dressed in his garb, and he comes round and he says to me, "Mr. Smiley, we're taking you for your operation." And of course I knew that I was due to have the operation. I wasn't sure it was going to be 6 o'clock in the morning, but nevertheless, that's the way it was. And I trusted him. He said, "We're going to look after you. We're going to take you down to theater. We're going to operate. We're going to take out your gallbladder and all of the rest of it." And I trusted him. I'd met him before, of course. I'd met him on a previous occasion. He said, "I'm Mr. So-and-so, and you've met me before, and I'm going to look after you, and we're going to look after you in the theater." And I trusted him. Faith. And thankfully, they sorted me out. And I'm back here to tell the story. The only place of security and safety for now and for all eternity, my friend, is in the Lord Jesus Christ, the great physician. He's the only one that can help you tonight. He's the only one that can deal with your sin problem. He can cleanse away your sin and make you completely whole. People say, "Oh, we need so-and-so to be reformed in their character." No, friend. We need people to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's only the Lord Jesus Christ that can save the soul and change the life and prepare the individual for heaven. That's what you need tonight. I want you to think about the impressive promises that are given. And all of these promises show what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is to accept Him as God's gift. You see, that great text, John 3:16, "Whosoever believeth in Him shall have everlasting life." The words of John chapter 1 verse 12, "But to as many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe in His name." To believe equals to receive. Will you believe tonight before you leave this service? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is to come to Him. Will you come to Him tonight? You have to come to Christ. You'll never be saved if you don't come to Christ. The Lord says, and the invitation of the gospel is this, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out." John chapter 6, verse 37, you must come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you come tonight, dear man, dear woman, dear person tonight? Will you come? And to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is to enter into the fold by Him. The book of John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 9, "I am the door," the Lord said, "by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Come into the fold tonight. As Luke chapter 13 teaches us, we're to strive to enter in at the straight gate. For straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. Strive to enter in tonight. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is to come to Him and drink of the water of life. You remember that woman there in the fourth chapter of John? What a sinful woman she was. But the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to her about the living water of life. "And if you drink of this water," He said, "you'll never thirst again. It will be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And I tell you, man tonight, woman, young person tonight, that this water of life is what you need. Well, there are many out in the towns and cities of Northern Ireland and the towns and cities across this world tonight, and they're drinking at the broken cisterns of the world, sad to say. Then, my friend, tonight, let me introduce you to the living water of life. That water of life
that if you drink of it, you'll never thirst again. Will you come and drink of that water tonight? Will you come and taste and see that the Lord is good? Believe to the saving of your soul. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is to call upon Him for salvation. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You remember the dying thief? At the very last moments of his life, he called out there, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You remember Peter there as he was beginning to sink? He said, Lord, save me. You remember the publican there in Luke chapter 18? He would not so much as lift his eyes to heaven, but he cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that Gentile woman, she manifested faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. She said, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. You cry to the Lord to help you tonight. Thus to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is to rely only upon Him for salvation. Do you believe like that? Are you saved tonight? Martin Luther said this, the only saving faith is that which casts itself on God for life or death. That which casts itself upon God for life and death. That which saves us is faith in Christ, not faith in our faith or faith in the faith. There are people who say, oh, I have faith, but what's it in? They may be well-meaning and sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. It's faith in Christ, you need. William Tyndale, that great man of God, he said this, right faith is a thing wrought in us by the Holy Ghost, which changes us, turns us into a new nature, begets us anew in God, makes us sons of God, makes us altogether new in heart and mind and will and desire, and in all other affections and powers of the soul, the Holy Ghost ever accompanying it and ruling the hearts. This is saving faith, my friend. Have you believed tonight to the saving of your soul? Have you believed tonight on the Lord Jesus Christ? If you haven't, it is my prayer that even now you would come to the Savior, and even now you would call upon His name, and even now you'll trust Him and be saved. Faith. It's the vital ingredient. Remember my mother, when she was baking a cake, sometimes she forgot to put in the vital ingredient. The cake was a failure. We still ate it nevertheless. Even though it was a failure, we still ate it. But you see, it fell down in the middle. It didn't rise up. The vital ingredient was missing. And friend, if the vital ingredient of faith is missing, you don't get God's salvation. You're lost. Lost forever in a Christless eternity. Oh, I pray that tonight you might come and trust in Christ. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you now. Let us pray. Father, we pray that Thou wouldst indelibly write upon the fleshy tables of the heart the truth of Thy word. Bring souls tonight to Christ. Save them by Thy grace, we pray. May they trust the Savior for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing hymn is the words you'll see on the screen. Just now, 269, I wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. Paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Make the words of the chorus your prayer tonight as we remain seated to sing this hymn, and we'll stand for the closing prayer.
Come on. God's spoken to you tonight, you're not
saved, or you're not sure, or you're a backslider,
you come and speak to me. I'll be out at the steps there. Do come and speak to me. I'm happy to talk to you tonight about your soul, about eternity. Contact me tonight on the phone or by text. We're happy to talk to you tonight to show you from God's word how you can be saved. Don't leave tonight. Don't go away. Don't go to sleep tonight without trusting Christ as your Savior. Your soul is an immortal soul. You need to be saved, and you need your soul saved for eternity. May God help you to come. Father, apply thy word by the power of thy Spirit. Bring souls to Christ tonight. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for coming tonight. May God bless you. Thank you.